إني أحب محمدا والله خير شاهدا. يا ربي صل على المدى أبدا عليه مجدا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin by praising Allah Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Majestic, and we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and every single person who embraces the prophetic teachings, who embraces the prophetic path with ikhlas, with sincerity until the end of time. I begin by reminding myself and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jumu'ah in this house of Allah to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to instill and bring in the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be mindful of Allah azza wa jal. And you must do this, O believers, O subjects of Allah, O followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, if you wish to attain victory and success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. So today we reach the final part of our journey into the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So over the past few weeks, with the help of Allah, I've been able to explore various aspects of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I think it was at the sermon delivered at the Wallawata Masjid where we delved into the outward beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sermon after that at the Nimal Road Masjid, and the one after that at the Bagat Saleh Kolpiti Masjid, we went into the emotional intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his leadership, his impeccable leadership qualities, how he dealt with those around him, whether they were his companions or his enemies. We've reflected on different qualities, different traits of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was sent as a role model unto us, the most perfect example of humanity. So inshallah ta'ala, today, as we conclude this series, I hope to revisit these aspects of his life. So we will once again reflect on the physical beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will also reflect on the emotional intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he embodied mercy and grace even in times of hardship, even after challenging moments. As we will see inshallah, there were incidents like the conquest of Makkah, there were incidents like what happened in Taif. So all these incidents, despite them being challenging moments during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he embodied mercy, he embodied grace, he navigated through all of these moments, these challenging moments in his life with utmost grace. And then finally, as we stand just after a few days after our own presidential elections, we will draw from the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a beacon of positivity, a beacon of optimism and hope. How he, again, even in the most challenging of moments, challenging of times, never lost faith in Allah's plan. He always inspired those around him with positivity, with hope, with confidence. So we will all, inshallah, go through these aspects of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and glean as many lessons as possible, inshallah ta'ala. So let's start off with the physical beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, sisters, because perhaps they will listen to the recording, watch the recording later on, inshallah, one of the most captivating aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his striking physical beauty. It wasn't the kind of beauty that was hidden, that was reserved for special moments. It was radiant, it was unmatched, and it was something impossible to overlook. You couldn't gloss over the radiant beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. Hadith is recorded, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. Anas radiyallahu anhu, the narration goes along the lines of these words. He comes out one night, and it was the night of the full moon. It was the night of the full moon. I want you all to put yourselves in the shoes of Anas radiyallahu anhu. You see, even in our own landscapes, urban landscapes, city landscapes, when we come out and when we witness the full moon, the moon in all its glory, we are captivated. We admire the beauty of the moon. Despite all of the light pollution, there's a lot of light pollution for those of you who are aware of light pollution. There's so much of light being emitted by us human beings. The skyscrapers, the billboards, the LED panels, the street lights, this and that, so much of light pollution. So you really can't admire the moon in all its glory. And this is why when you go to the countryside, when you go out and you witness the moon, where there is no or less light pollution, you see the moon in all its radiance. Now think about it in the desert. The desert, you've got dunes of sand, pitch darkness. There's no light pollution. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no light pollution. So Anas radiallahu anhu comes out and he witnesses the moon in all its glory, a full moon. And you see the mindset of the people of the desert. Usually during the day, it is the scorching sun. Sun that you dare not look up at. Why? Because it is so hot, blistering hot, scorching sun. And then in the night, the moon comes with its coolness, its cool light. And you have the vast desert like an ocean. And you, a tiny human being, you're looking at the desert, you're looking at the moon. You now admire the moon in all its glory. So this was Anas radiallahu anhu. In a desert so vast, and the moon, how beautiful it was in the night sky. It was radiant, it was shining down on him, a welcome relief from the harsh, scorching sun. He looks at the moon, its light, its coolness, it was breathtaking, and then he thinks to himself, is the moon more beautiful, or is my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more beautiful? Let me see. So he goes and he sees Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing in the distance. He says, I looked at the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then I looked at the moon. I looked at the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then I looked at the moon. I once more looked at the blessed face of Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, and then I looked at the moon, and I swear by Allah, wallahi, he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was more beautiful, was more radiant, was more illuminating than the moon. Allahu Akbar. He was more radiant, he was more perfect, he was more handsome. The moon in all its splendor, the moon in all its grandeur could not compare to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imagine, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the awe, the beauty that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried, so much that his face, his beauty outshone the splendor of the full moon. There's another incident. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she was one night with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was using her needle to stitch. She drops the needle and she couldn't find the needle in the darkness because the lights were dim. So she was searching for her needle and she cries out, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot find my needle. Without a word, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved closer to Aisha radiallahu anha. And by the light radiating from his face, Aisha radiallahu anha easily found the needle. The light that came out from him was not just a physical illumination. It was the light of his heart, his pure heart. It was the light of his soul. It was the light of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, let us reflect upon the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the companions. The companions are reported to have said, I saw him. Listen, O followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen to the description of your messenger. Listen attentively to the description of your leader, of your prophet. No one compares to him. No one. Follow him. He is your role model. The companions say, I saw him. A man of striking appearance. He wasn't just beautiful. No. He was extraordinary. ظاهر الوضاء. His beauty radiated. It was evident. You could see it from afar. Like the first light of Fajr, like the first light of dawn breaking over the horizon. His face, it wasn't just fair, it was radiant, glowing, illuminating the world around him. أبلج الوجه, his face, bright like the moon, like the stars. No, brighter than the moon, brighter than the stars, like the light of guidance, subhanallah. حسن ال خلق وحسن الخلق. He wasn't merely created well. He was the epitome of creation. Beautifully made, perfectly balanced. Every part of him, every limb of his, exactly where it should be. He was the completion of human form. لم تعبه ثجلا. His belly, his stomach did not protrude. There was no excess. His stomach did not protrude. No imperfection. He was lean. He was strong. Perfectly proportioned. وَلَمْ تُزْرِ بِهِ سَعْلًا. No part of him, no limb of his was small or looking imbalanced. Every limb, every feature balanced just as it should be. He was the definition of harmony itself. وَسِيمٌ قَسِيمٌ. He was delicate yet powerful, finely made by Allah, like a piece of art sculpted with divine care, a specimen of creation, flawless. فِي عَيْنَيْهِ دَعِجْ. In his eyes, there was a contrast. The dark was so very dark. And the white was so very white. It was pure. So pure that it seemed to glow. Subhanallah. His eyes, when he would look at you, they captivated you. He did not have dull, feeble eyes. He had an aura, a powerful aura in his eyes. They captivated you when he looked at you. وَفِي أَشْفَارِهِ وَطَفٌ. His eyelashes, long, casting shadows, beautifully framing those beautiful eyes of his, like wings of angels protecting them. وَبِهِ صَوْتُهُ صَحْلٌ. His voice, Allahu Akbar. It wasn't just sound. You see, you and I, it's just sound. For some people, it might even sound annoying, but the voice of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it wasn't just sound. It had a depth to it, a resonance that moved through you when he would speak. His voice wasn't merely heard, it was felt. You could feel the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَفِي عُنُقِهِ سَطَعٌ. His neck, elegantly long, graceful like the trunk of a palm tree, strong and steady. شديد سواد الشعر. His hair, groomed well, long, flawlessly black, as though the night in all its darkness itself had settled upon his head. Not a single imperfection. Black, thick, perfectly groomed. في لحيته كثاثة. His beard was dignified. A mark of nobility. It wasn't scruffy. It was well groomed. It was as if each strand of hair was placed with purpose. Dignity embodied him.
Akhal. Oh, his eyes. His eyes. It was as if it had been naturally adorned with kohl. You know what kohl is? You know the natural eyeliner that is used to beautify the eyes. It was as if it had been naturally adorned with kohl, as if the heavens themselves had lined his gaze. Azaj aqran. His eyebrows gracefully arched, but not joined. Perfectly separated, each feature standing in its rightful place. Idha samata alahul waqar. When he was silent, dignity like a cloak over, in the sense like a cloak, it covered over him. When he sat in silence, it wasn't just silence, it was presence. وَإِن تَكَلَّمَ عَلَاهُ الْبَهَى. But when he spoke, it was different. His words, powerful, like waves. When you go to the ocean, you see the waves crashing onto the shore. His words were clear, powerful, and commanding. His speech, it overtook you. It moved you. You couldn't resist. It moved you. It moved through you. His words, they demanded your attention. They demanded your heart. You had to listen to him. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ajmal al-nas wa abhahum min ba'id. From afar, he was the most striking, the most outstanding. His presence, it overwhelmed you. You could see him from a distance and you knew he was not like anyone else. And when you came near, when you came close, you realized he was not just handsome from afar. No, the closer you came, the more beautiful he became, the more handsome he became. The nearer you were, the sweeter, the more handsome, the more captivating he appeared. Huluwul mantiq. And when he would speak, it was like honey. Sweet, profound, rich in wisdom. His words, each word perfectly placed, measured, polished, flowing one after the other like a string of pearls, like a string of jewels on a necklace. Allahu Akbar. Look at the description. You can go on and on and on. Lahu rufaqa yahuffuna bih. And around him were his companions, always surrounding him, protecting him, loving him. They didn't just follow him, they lived for him. When he spoke, they would listen like students hanging on to every word of a beloved teacher. When he commanded, they would rush to fulfill his command, competing with one another to please Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This, my brothers, is Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. This is your messenger. This is the man who was chosen by Allah to lead us. We are his ummah, ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto the worlds. And it is not just physical beauty, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Reflect on the conquest of Makkah. When he conquers Makkah, after years of persecution, years of torment, to appreciate this better, you have to reflect on the persecution. You have to reflect on the torment, on the oppression. Think of Bilal radiallahu anhu, laid down on the scorching sands of the desert. You see, when it is hot, you cannot walk on the streets barefoot. Can you? For those of you who have been on Umrah and on Hajj, you know how hot it gets. You're talking about 40, 45, 50 degrees. You cannot think of walking without footwear. And even if you do, it burns your feet. It's scorching hot. He was made to lie down on the scorching sands of the desert. Renounce Islam was the command. A boulder, a big rock was placed on top of him. And he would cry out, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one, Allah is one. Ala Yasir, the family of Yasir, radiallahu anh, Sumayya, radiallahu anha, Ammar, radiallahu anh. They were tied up to trees and tormented, persecuted, up until the point that a spear was thrown through the lower abdomen of Sumayya radiallahu anha, through the private parts of Sumayya radiallahu anha, killing her on the spot, making her the first female to die for the deen of Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Think about the persecution. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was praying by the Kaaba. The leaders of the Quraysh see the opportunity, and as he goes down for sujood, they have the entrails, the intestines of a camel brought with all its filth and placed it, had it placed on the back of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was so heavy, full of filth and the bad stench, the Messenger could not get up from sujood. His beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, who was a young girl at that time, she hears about this and she comes running to the Kaaba, and with her little hands wiping away her tears, she tries to remove the filth from the back of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, crying and weeping for her father. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calms her down. This was the persecution that they were being put through. Now after all of this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now comes as a conqueror of Makkah, as a victor. He is in the ultimate position of power. Ultimate position of power. He asks the Quraysh, "What do you think I'm going to do to you? What do you think I'm going to do to you?" Now they all reply very humbly, very meekly, "You are our noble brother, the son of a noble brother. Just a few years ago, Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they make their way to Makkah to perform Umrah. They were turned back. There was an agreement written. And when the agreement was written, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this was an agreement between them and the Quraysh, he says, he dictates that it should be Muhammadur Rasulullah. The agreement should be between you and Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quraysh immediately responded saying, "We do not recognize you as the Messenger of Allah. Change that. Change that to simply Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah." The Sahaba were upset, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held on to patience. With his own hands, he erases it. He erases Muhammadur Rasulullah and writes Muhammad ibn, has it written that it should be, he dictates that it should be written as Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah. Now years have passed, he comes as a conqueror, he asks them, "What do you think I'm going to do to you?" And now their response is not Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the response is, "You are our noble brother, the son of a noble brother." Why? They're scared now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utters words that echo through the annals of time, recorded in the pages of history. "Go, I have set you free." The Prophet could have exacted revenge. The Prophet could have turned to retribution. He was in a position of power. He had the authority to do so. But he set them free. This was the pure heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as we make our way towards the end of the sermon, and as we reflect on our own lives and the situation in our nation now that we are after the elections, let us take inspiration from the unshakable optimism of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us be positive. Let us be hopeful of good times ahead of us. Even during the Hijrah, when he and Abu Bakr radiallahu an were persecuted, were being pursued by the Quraysh, and they take refuge in a cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was filled with fear, with anxiety, uncertainty. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calm and optimistic. He reassures him by saying, "La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana." Do not be afraid, Allah is with us. These were not just words to comfort his companion. They were a reflection of the Prophet's unshakable belief that Allah's protection, Allah's guidance is always with us. Even when everything may seem challenging, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was filled with certainty that Allah's plan is greater than any challenge that we face. Allah is greater than your problems. Allah is greater than your challenges, O believer. Do not let the devil come and plant anxiety, plant fear, plant negativity, plant pessimism. You tell the devil, you tell shaitan, you tell your nafs, you tell your heart that my Rabb, Allah is greater than my problems. My Allah is greater than my challenges. For truly, He is the best disposer of our affairs. Shaitan wants to push us into an abyss of despair, into an abyss of anxiety, of panic, of uncertainty. But it is Allah who is in control of all of our affairs. So do not let Shaitan overrule you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he always saw the bigger picture. Bigger picture. You and I, we can only see in today's terms, only a pixel. Only a pixel. If you're talking about a 4K picture, you have 4,000 odd pixels out there. We are grappling with one pixel. Allah knows what is best for us. Sometimes certain things may seemingly be problematic for us, but Allah knows what is best for us. When the son of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away, he was crying. The Sahaba look at him and they say, Ya Rasulullah, even you cry? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responds, the eye weeps, the heart grieves, but we do not say anything except that which pleases Allah. We do not say things that would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, some of us may feel uncertain. Some of us may feel anxious about the future. There may be doubts about what lies ahead, you know. But let us take inspiration from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us hold on to the belief that Allah's wisdom transcends immediate circumstances. So regardless of any situation, regardless of any challenges we face, we must remember that Allah is Al-Hakim, Allah is the wise, Allah is Al-Latif, the most subtle and kind in His planning. He alone knows what is best for us. So as we look towards the future, my dear brothers and sisters, let us take the lesson of optimism from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Let us apply it to our lives. Let us apply it to our communities. Let us apply it to our country. Let us apply it to our nation. Our trust is not in any worldly power. Our trust is in Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The owner of the heavens, the owner of the earth. He controls the affairs of every human being, every individual. So regardless of the challenges we face, we must remember that placing trust in Allah is a fundamental part of our faith. We must be optimistic about the future, just as how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was optimistic. Our role is to continue to strive for justice, to uphold the values of our deen, and to work hard towards the betterment of our society, towards the betterment of ourselves, towards the betterment of our nation. But we must do so with hearts full of positivity, hearts full of hope, hearts full of optimism, believing that no matter how challenging the road ahead is, Allah is with us, and with Him, with Allah, nothing is impossible. So we conclude by praying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength to be optimistic, to be positive. May Allah grant us the wisdom to trust in His plan. May Allah grant us strength to work towards the good of our nation and our communities. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength to embody the lessons that we glean from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we sincerely pray, bless this country of ours, bless this nation with peace. peace, with unity and prosperity. Ya Allah, protect us from division and harm, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, strengthen our patience. Help us to always place our trust in you, for you are the best of planners. Ya Allah, grant this nation leaders who are humble and sincere, leaders who will be servants of the people, busy in sincere service of the public and not dictators and rulers over them. Ya Allah, let justice prevail in our land. Ya Allah, protect the rights of the oppressed, protect the rights of the weak, protect the rights of the vulnerable. Grant us leaders who will stand for justice and fairness, and protect us, Ya Allah, from those who seek to exploit and oppress. Ya Allah, unite our hearts and keep us away from division. Ya Allah, remove discord from our hearts and strengthen the bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood amongst us. Ya Allah, bless our country with peace and prosperity. Ya Allah, dispel unrest or violence from our land and allow us to live in safety and security. Ya Allah, guide the future of this nation for the sake of our children and future generations. Ya Allah, let them grow up under leaders who will preserve justice, protect their rights, and offer them a society built on compassion and fairness. Ya Allah, bless our country with economic prosperity. Provide sustenance, rizq, to those who are struggling, and grant our communities the means to thrive and support one another. Ya Allah, remove financial hardships from our nation. Strengthen our economy. Bless us with barakah. Bless us with abundant stability in our wealth and resources. Ya Allah, protect our nation from greed and corruption, and allow all people, regardless of their status, regardless of their background, regardless of their beliefs, to benefit from the resources you have blessed us with. Make justice the foundation of our economy. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of all people in this nation, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Let us live together in harmony, respecting each other's rights, and work together for the common good. Ya Allah, make our country a beacon of peace and unity. Ya Allah, bless every citizen of our country with prosperity and well-being. Grant all of us security in our livelihoods, in our jobs, peace in our homes, and success in our endeavors. Ya Allah, we pray for our brethren in Palestine. We pray for our brethren suffering around the world. Ya Allah, ease the affairs of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And just as how you united us here in this masjid, unite us in the gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.